people. Today is the 23rd day of October 2022 in the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. Sister, I don't know if you got to listen to some of the past sermons, but one of those sermons was about there's usually something in there about modern day churches in every sermon, but this one was about the how much the people, even God's people in these modern day churches, hear ungodly things that are not sound doctrine. They're false teachings, and what an influence it has upon them. And we do a lot of praying for the elect, that God would deliver them from such, the doctrines of devils and such not. But this is 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's where we're at this morning. At His appearing and His kingdom. At His appearing and His kingdom is the title today. At His appearing and His kingdom. It's what the scripture says here in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Apostle Paul charging Timothy as an evangelist, as a preacher. I don't think they're, I don't know about evangelists these days, but in those days there were true evangelists, and of course Timothy was also pastor at one time, and he says, he charged him, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Our Father, we pray Your blessings upon the reading of Your word today. Pray that it would be beneficial to Your people today, might grow them in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for Your help today, that Your people would be fed today. You feed them, Lord, for I'm incapable of feeding Your people as they should be fed. Enlighten them to the truth of Thy word. Grow them. I ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, this appears to me to mean those living believers, from what he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. No need for me to explain that part. You know he's talking about God, the Father, therefore before God. Or he could be saying God is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God. He is God the Father. He's God the Son also. He is our Father. But you know the difference. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. The quick and the dead appears to me to be those living believers at the second coming of Christ, and those believers who died before and will be raised at His coming. That's what that's saying to me. Who shall judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now that kind of threw me for a loop. And His kingdom, at His appearing and His kingdom. But the more you think about it and you read the other scriptures concerning His appearing, His coming, what's going to happen at His coming, and you understand why He says, and His kingdom. In the same context of this, 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, the apostle tells the church at Thessalonica, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, meaning dead, or passed on, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now these days, it's just amazing to talk to people that are, I don't know if I told y'all about the fella I run into at the store that got to talking vulgar language in my presence, wasn't actually saying nothing ugly to me, but just using the F word and the MF word, and I had to lay hands on him quickly. Grabbed a hold to him. I said, "Hey, boy, you don't do that in front of me." I said, "If you have to talk that way, if you've got no better sense than to use that kind of vocabulary in front of me, don't come around me no more. I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to listen to it." Now I remember what I was going to tell you, sister, was that when you hear people in a modern day church or in another church or wherever preaching things that you know not to be the truth, their false doctrine, their errors in understanding the truth of God's word, don't just let it go. Don't be afraid that you're going to make them mad. They hated Jesus for telling them the truth. They'll hate you for telling the truth. And your dear husband, past and departed, whom I love dearly and think about always, would not do such. And so I encourage people to don't let it pass. Put a stop to it. Tell them of the error of their ways in doctrine and in the truth of God's word. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, the apostle tells them, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, what is amazing to me these days is to talk to people, church-going people, about the end, and especially those that you have very serious doubts as to whether they ever been born from above or not, but and their understanding about what's going to happen. And he's saying here, I don't want you to be ignorant about those that are dead, those that have passed on, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But today, because of idiots, Lord forgive me, behind the pulpit, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody. Somehow. Just listen to them. Go to a funeral. Everybody's going to heaven. Somehow, some way. While we're on the subject, those name it, claim it, charismatic, whatever you want to call it, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, John Hagee, them people. Them kind of preachers, I call them prosperity preachers. They believe that God, and I've heard them say it with their own mouths, that God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. So give me your money and God will bless you. That's what they say. And most of them live in $1 million or more homes. One of those preachers lives in a 35,000 square foot parsonage. And that's what they believe, and that's what they preach. And people believe them. Where do they get that? They like the Roman Catholics, don't they? Read the book. Just read the book. Just read the book. I mean, come on, people. God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. God wants you wise because he told these people, don't you be ignorant about them that are dead. Wealthy, he wants you wealthy. If he wants you wealthy, he'll make you wealthy. If not, most believers are going to be poor people. Some have more than others, some less than others. But they will not, and if they are wealthy people and they're Christian people, they will use it the way God intended for them to use their money. Not meaning they'll give away every dime they got, but they will help Christian people along the way, strangers, whatever. They'll use it as God leads them and to bring glory to God. So don't be ignorant about them as those that have no hope. And the sad thing these days is they talk about people that were lost their whole lives, died in their sins, as though they're in heaven today by some miraculous deal. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now see, there's no doubt about that scripture. He is calling Jesus God there. Because God ain't coming back. God's not returning the second time. Jesus Christ is, and that's what he's saying there. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The Lord Jesus will bring them, as you know, with him when he returns. They're coming with him. They don't have bodies. Their bodies is in the ground out there, but they're coming with him when he returns, and his holy angels. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to rise before they do. That's what he's saying. That's what the word prevent means. We're not going before they do. We're not going beforehand. In other words, just because we're alive when the Lord returns, we're not going before them. And that's what he's saying there. My main focus today is about people understanding what's going to happen, even though I'm not preaching on the end times. I'm not even not trying to preach a sermon about the end times or even the second coming of Christ, nor all the things that'll happen at that time or how they'll happen at that time. That's not my purpose here today. My purpose is to get a more clear understanding about the Lord's return and his appearing. That we don't forget he's coming back and who it is that believes he's coming back. They don't just believe he's coming back, they know he's coming back and they love his coming back. They can't wait for it to happen. They long for it. They love it. It's important to understand and see. Most people today, by a great majority, 99% of the people walking this earth are worldly, worldly people. Even 96% or more of church-going people are worldly people. But they that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not... Lost my place there. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. We won't go before they do. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, so you get the idea. I mean, you can read that one verse and say they're coming back with him. You can read this verse and say they're going to rise first. Yeah, and yeah, that's true. They're coming back with him, but their bodies are going to rise before we do. Their bodies are going to rise out of the ground. They're not going to rise to meet the Lord in the air before we do, but they're going to rise out of the ground. And their bodies changed and reunited with their souls. He shall descend from heaven with a shout. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a marvelous thing that's going to happen? They're going to hear him all over the world. And tell Mark, I don't care if it's flat or if it's round. It doesn't matter. They're going to hear him. They're going to see him. With a shout and the voice of an archangel. And with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're all going up together, but they're going to rise from the ground. Their bodies are going to rise out of the ground first to be reunited with their souls. And our bodies, remember, the Bible says, will be changed the moment of the twinkling of an eye, which means virtually death without dying. We're going through that change when the Lord returns. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a commandment. Wherefore, since these things are true, and this is what's going to happen, comfort one another with these words. Especially when you got folks dying that you know is going to die. Well, we're all going to die. But some sooner than others. Or so we think. You never know. Just like the Gandhi fella the other day when he got up to go to squirrel camp. I'll guarantee you he never thought once that I won't never make it back home. But he didn't. So I'm not trying to preach a sermon about the end times, second coming of Christ, all the things that can happen, how they'll happen, but some of those things are important when we're trying to understand who is really born again, a born again believer, and those who only trust in a profession they once made or a decision they made. We must adhere close to the whole counsel of God in the Holy Scriptures, which are very clear with study, prayer, and meditation concerning the things of God for His children while they sojourn through this life. That we understand what's going to happen. And we understand who is really a born-again believer and who is one that's just made a profession of faith. And it shows that concerning this very subject again and again and again and again in the Scriptures. We should, as true believers, cease from being so concerned about the world and the goings-on around us except for the purpose of using those things to teach and to lead other believers who have been deceived by modern-day false teachers, preachers, so-called, and let them know that the Word of God has given us much warning about what will happen regarding this subject. As a matter of fact, the 8th verse of the same chapter, 2 Timothy, verse 8 says, henceforth, in other words, since all these things are true that I've told you, starting in 1 Timothy, since all these things are true, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Very important. But unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you see? Who it is that will receive the crown of righteousness at His appearing, meaning His second coming. All them that love His appearing, they love and want and long for Him to return. That is what all the saints will have because it is an agreement. It's in agreement with their character. That's the kind of people they are. It's the free gift of God to His children. This crown of righteousness. It's what they are heirs to. They are heirs to that crown of righteousness of because it comes from the righteousness of Christ being imputed to them and gives them a right to it. It says here that it is laid up. That's what he says. Henceforth, it is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's hidden, as you may say. It's hidden in heaven. It's there. Protected. Hidden. It's laid up. It's laid up in the covenant of grace for the saints. Those who are chosen in Christ Jesus, redeemed by His blood and sanctified by His Spirit, and none other. You say, why are you preaching this, preacher? Why are you preaching on this? We know this. There are people that all over this earth that listen to this little country preacher that don't know this. Be a sermon audio. There are many a preacher that don't know this. Christian people are to be. This is what they ought to be. They are to be praying for. They are to be looking for and loving the return of Christ. That's Christian people, not professors of Christianity, not have made a decision for Christ, Christianity. These are true chosen people of God who've been sanctified by His Spirit. They've been redeemed by His blood and they love Him for it. They're His chosen in Christ. They're God the Father's chosen in Christ Jesus. He's put a love in their hearts for Him and for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They cannot wait to see Him coming. As far as that goes, to go see Him before He comes. And the only reason they stay here on this earth is because God has given them another breath. It's not because they're love this world. They don't love this world. But when your heart gets overrun with love for the elect that are yet unconverted, and you know that everywhere you go, you may run into one of those, even though they're some of the worst people in the world. They're some of the sorriest, murdering, adulterating, fornicating heathens that you've ever run into are the elect of God. I can remember running the other way, not wanting to do what was right because I knew something was going on inside. And there are a lot of people that way. They know. They know. They know inside. Their soul, they know. So they're running like idiots. The devils believe and know of His appearing, His second coming. But they tremble at it, the Bible says. They shake in their boots. They shake their knees knocked together. It fears them and scares them so much about His second coming and His return because they know what's going to happen. Wicked men behold Him and fear falls upon them so much so that they will run to hide from Him and cry out for the mountains to fall on them. But there will be no hiding place. The chosen know, believe, and love Christ and His second coming. They long for it and look for it. That's a true believer. So, my question to you is, do you fit into this category? Well, preacher, are you saying if I don't think about it, if I don't dwell on it, if I don't love the return of the second coming of Christ, that maybe I'm not saved? I didn't say no such thing. But I'm going to tell you what. From what I've read already, and there's many, many scriptures that read just like this. We're going to read some of them. I'd be worried. I'd be worried. I'd say this. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And I'd go to crying out to God until He calls me to love His return. 1 Timothy chapter 6, same book, except 1 Timothy in chapter 6, the apostle tells Timothy and tells all believers, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Now, the verses prior to verse 11 is talking about the love of money and how it's the root of all evil. But he tells Timothy, "O man of God, flee these things and follow after." Believers are to follow after righteousness. It means being right with God, the way that you live and talk and breathe and do. After godliness, faith, not having doubt, love, patience, love for God, love for His people, love for His Word, love for His second coming. Patience. Boy, I have to work on that one. I've been praying for God to help me not be so judgmental. You know I'm bad to be judgmental. It's just my old nature, I guess. But, you know, there is a certain sect of people that are bad to ride on the wrong side of the road more than other sects of people. I didn't say sex. I said sect. S-E-C-T. Sect of people. Kinds of people. And I'm telling you, I have a problem with it. I had to dodge one this morning. Had to leave the road because a white minivan full of them was on the wrong side of the road. So my first thing, you know, is to say things that were not pleasing unto the Lord. So, patience, that we should have patience, like God does with us. If you'll just remember how patient God is with you, it will probably help for you to have patience with other people that are as dumb as you are. Because when it comes to God, we're just pitiful. Meekness, that means teachable. That you're teachable. Always be teachable. You won't ever get so old or so smart that you shouldn't be teachable. Fight the good fight of faith. That's a fight. To have the good fight of faith, not to doubt God. Now see, getting up under a church where it's just the floor joists and the beams are just high enough off the ground that you cannot turn over. You have to slide back the other way a little piece and then turn over and then slide back. When that will test your faith. When you're under a building by yourself and you get in a tight spot knowing that one shift in the building or one shift in that 300-pound beam over you and you'd be hung by yourself. Nobody to call on except God. Nobody to holler, "Please help me, call 911, get a chainsaw, cut the floor out, drag me up." That'll try your faith. So every time I start to go under here, I say, "Now God, I'm depending on you. There's nobody else here. I'm depending on you to make sure I do it right. I'm depending on you to make sure I'm safe. That nothing stupid happens to me. I put my trust in thee, Holy Father. You are my Father. And I trust you." But it'll certainly try your faith. So he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also. Isn't that something? How he says that? Lay hold on to eternal life. What does he mean? What does he mean, lay hold on to eternal life? You either got it or you don't. That's right. That's right. That's right. And when you're not fighting the good fight of faith, how do you know? When you're not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that you don't have communion with them. When you wake up in the morning, you don't say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for waking me up this morning, Holy Father. Let me spend some time now before I get up, before I get the coffee going, before I do anything. Let me have a little time with you, Father. Let me commune with thee. Let me lay my head in your bosom and just listen. Holy Father." Like a child would his own daddy if he was hurt or if he needed something. Do you know how much it means for a child if their daddy just takes them and holds them? Them little grandbabies of mine, they know I'm a mean old man and that I will tear their backsides up, I mean, in a wink. Just disobey me. Don't move when I tell you to and find out what's fixing to happen. But you talking about come running and jump up for me to grab them and hug on them. They want it. They need it. That's reassurance to them that their granddaddy loves them. Even though they know I'll beat the dog out of them, they also need to know I love them. So that's the way you do with God. That you start your day off that way. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. How do you lay hold on it? Because there's always some doubt there by the devil, by the old nature that's in us, living in a human being that God has put in these earthen vessels, the Holy Spirit of God, and it just makes you wonder how, in a wretch like me, could he put stripes upon his son's back? How could he place a crown of thorns on his head and shove them down, spit on him, and take my sins out on him when he was perfect in every way? Makes you doubt. Makes you have some wonder. So he's saying, lay hold on eternal life. Make sure that your calling and election is sure. Be certain. Test yourself. Read the scriptures. See if you line up with what the scriptures say is for a born-again believer. And are you or are you not? And if you're not, go to crying out to God. Hear what the unjust judge saith. Worry him. Is my time up? I'm just getting started. We must have got started late or something. I'll be through in a minute. Don't leave yet, sister. She's packing up her Bible. She said, I'm betting to go now. I give thee, fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now this is Timothy he's talking to. He says, Timothy, you lay hold on eternal life, and you've had a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, which commandment? I don't know. All of them from 1 Timothy on to now. But I think he's talking about you fighting the good fight of faith. You laying hold on eternal life. You keep this commandment to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach into, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now I have people that tell me they can't wait to see the Father. What book are you reading from? What book are you reading from? He has a spirit. He has no body parts. You will never see him. He can't be seen with the eye. And we're going to have eyes, just like we got, except without the evil that's in these. We'll be like Christ. Oh, to see him in his glory will be such a magnificent thing. And we'll shout glory, hallelujah. And when he casts them other people into hell, we'll say yes and amen. Holy God, you're just God. What a good God we have. If people just knew him, they'd have to love him. The problem is they don't want to know him. My time's gone. They don't want to know him. And I understand when people say, but what if they're not one of the chosen and they want to know him? I said, that's an oxymoron. The Bible says to avoid unlearned and foolish questions. That's a foolish question. If their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they don't want to come to him. They love this world. They love the things of this world. They love the sin. They don't want nobody to rule over them, especially God with all of his commandments. They don't want him. They want to be free to do as they will and to do as they wish. And so they live their lives. What about you? I'm going to have to take up next week. I didn't get through with this. And the Lord help us. Brother Guy, if you ask the Lord's blessings on us, we'll be dismissed.
Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for our everyday blessing that you bestow on us every day.